always like to lay a little foundation when we begin a holy day. And of course, I just love God's holy days. So let's go to Leviticus 23, and we'll do a little bit of reading here in regards to the holy days. Now, obviously, Leviticus 23 pictures all of God's holy days. It starts off with the Sabbath and goes through all seven of the annual holy days. So let's notice verses 1 and 2 here. And it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, The feast of the Lord," now notice whose feasts these are now, these are his feasts, "which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts." So they're not the Jews' feasts, they're not my feasts, your feasts, they are God's feasts. Now, as I said, Leviticus 23 pictures all the holy days. So let's notice what happens here at the end of this chapter. So let's go over to verse 44 here of Leviticus 23. And it says, "So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feast of the Lord." So sort of beginning and ending. You know, he sort of closes this off. These are God's feasts. Now, there are primarily two Hebrew words translated as trumpets in the Old Testament. One is hasazeroth, which means the silver trumpets, and then the shofar, and I brought my little toys with me today. This is the curved animal horn here, and they're made from a ram, a goat, antelope, African kudu, or a gazelle. Now, the longer one here, this comes from a kudu. So you see, quite longer, and I'll toot on them here in just a little bit here. Okay, so let's look back at Leviticus 23 here. We're going to go to verses 23 to 25 here, and we'll read about the Feast of Trumpets here. So verses 23 to 25. And it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month," and that's what today is, today, if you notice, there's a new moon, and when you have a new moon, there's no moon, right? When you look up, you don't see nothing. It's new. Now, the full moon, that's on the 15th, that's when the Feast of Tabernacles would start. But anyway, "On the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." Now, when we read that, we see in our translation, as we read, it says, "a memorial of blowing of trumpets." Now, here's a question. If you've heard my sermons before, you know what the answer is. But what word do you think would be hasazeroth, or would it be shofar here for the word trumpets? Well, in reality, it's neither one. There's no word there. So, actually, this is a memorial of blowing. Now, what do you blow? Well, obviously, you could blow a shofar. You could blow a silver trumpet. Or how about your voice? We could blow, we could shout. I can shout praises to God, see? Or I could cheer, yay! Yeah. But anyway, this is a type of blowing, isn't it? Now, the Tanakh, Jewish Bible here, it says, it translates this passage as, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the Israelite people thus, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a complete rest, a sacred occasion, commemorated with loud blasts." It doesn't say anything about a shofar, but it just says loud blasts. "You shall not work at your occupations, and you shall bring an offering by fire to the Lord." Now, one little comment here from the Rye Study Bible, and it says, "Three festivals occurred in the seventh month, of Tishri, which is September and October, those of trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles, or booths. The blowing of the trumpet, the shofar, or ram's horn here, on the first day signaled the beginning of the civil new year for the Jewish people here, and they call it Rosh Hashanah." Okay, now, since we don't have any special music, I'm going to give you shofar in N minor, N stands for noise, okay? Wow, isn't that beautiful? Like a bugle, you have overtones. You only have two or three on the shofar that you can go. That's where I went from the boo, you know, change the pitch up a little bit there. Now, so this is sort of sharp and shrill. Now let's listen to this one. This sounds more like a trombone. So this is more melodic here. By being longer, I was get another maybe five or so. So there's five different occasions here where the shofar is used. One, at every joyful occasion. So an example would be a wedding, right? A joyful wedding. You know, we've all had, at least we've all been to a wedding, right? Our own, if nothing else, see. But, you know, our kids or whatever. And they're joyful occasions, aren't they? You know, we've had a good time, you know. We married our spouse, we married our kids off, whatever it might be. So it is a very joyful. So can you imagine having, making noise with a shofar? Well, the Jewish people, they do. They like to have a good time. So they'd be making all kind of noise with a shofar. All right, the other way, another way here, number two here, in how the shofar would be used would be to confuse the enemies. Now let's turn over to Judges, and we'll read a couple verses here. Judges 7:1. So Judges 7:1. And this is about Gideon. Okay, it says, then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. Now let's drop down to verses 16 to 22 now. 16 to 22. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a shofar in every man's hand, and with empty pitchers here and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me, and do likewise, watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do just as I do. When I blow the shofar, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the shofar on every side of the whole camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the shofars and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the shofars and broke the pitchers they held and the torches in their left hands and the shofars in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the shofars, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled to Beth Arkea towards Zerah, as far as the border of Abel Moholath by Tabith. Now, what makes this a little more impressive is, I've got a comment in my Bible here, and it says this. It says, a shofar was generally only given to the leader of his troops. When they heard the 300 trumpets or shofars here, they thought that there was a 300 divisions of men. So can imagine, I mean, 300 would be, well, you know, if you had the shofar being blown, that's not, but if you actually had that thought in your mind, there's actually 300 divisions, that would also create more fear, wouldn't it? But again, this is one of the ways that the shofar was used, was to confuse the enemy. All right, a third way here. At the beginning of every month, which is the new moon, they blew the shofar. Now let's go over to Psalms 81, we'll read 1 to 4. So Psalms 81. Here. Sing aloud to God, our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike a timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the shofar at the time of the new moon. Now, today is a new moon. There's no moon out there, is it? And then it says, at the full moon. Now, that may be like the Feast of Tabernacle time, see? On our solemn feast day, for it is a for this is a statute for Israel and a law for the God of Jacob. Okay, now the fourth way here that how the shofar is used here is to call a sacred assembly or a solemn fast. So the shofar is blown in the synagogue on the Feast of Trumpets, which is today, at the conclusion of the Day of Atonement, and on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now then the fifth way here, and the last way here, it is used as an alarm of war. So now let's go over to Jeremiah now and read chapter 4, 19 to 21. So Jeremiah 4, times 4. Oh, my soul, I am pained in my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the shofar, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is tried, for the whole land is plundered. Suddenly my tents are plundered, and my curtains in a moment. How long will I see this battle standard here, and hear the sound of the shofar? You know, if you've been paying attention to the news here lately, you've sort of been hearing some saber rattling, haven't you? You know, you might say the shofar is being blown here about Syria. You know, will we enter this war? Will we do anything or not? You know, it seems like our president, unfortunately, seems like he's a little, you know, he doesn't want to take a stand, so I don't know whether we will or not. You know, they're waiting on Congress to make a decision. So, again, we'll just have to wait and see. But again, we could be hearing that shofar blowing, you know. Right now it might be weak, but it might get louder, so we may find ourselves involved in a war in Syria. It may be limited, who knows? So we'll just have to wait and see. Okay, the Hebrew word, now this was what we've been talking about here, has been the shofar, the ram's horn. Now let's read a little bit about the silver trumpets. If I ever run on to somewhere where I can buy a silver trumpet, I like to buy it to complete my toys here, see? But I don't know how long they were, but you know, I would think they'd be at least that long probably. Maybe as long as the kudu here. This is about 30 inches roughly. So you can imagine a silver trumpet being maybe that long. Okay, Numbers 10. Now we're going to read verses 1 through 10 here. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make 2 silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. Now, by having 2, I would think he would probably make them different lengths. Therefore, they'd have different pitches, different sounds to them. You know, the longer something is, the lower the pitch it might be. But if you had 2 of them, you're able to strike, what would you say, harmonizing maybe? And maybe they wouldn't harmonize. They may be shrilling against each other. But again, with silver trumpets, it's like a bugle. They have overtones. And, you know, you'd be able to do a little bit more with them than maybe what you could do with a shofar. And they'd sound prettier too. Okay, so anyway, you shall make them of hammered work. Now, when I think about a hammered work, I'm thinking, you know, when you buy a trumpet or a trombone, you know how pretty it is, all slick and shiny and so on, and they got lacquer on. Well, if you take a hammered work, it'd be like looking at maybe a metal plate that you might have. Sometimes you go to a salad place to eat, you know, like up there in Williamsburg. And, you know, they got these metal, like aluminum plates. You remember how hammered they look? You know, like someone took a ball peen hammer to them? Well, that's what I'm thinking of here. When you see these trumpets here, they have like little dents all over them here. Now, here again, they may have refined their technology at that time, and maybe somehow they knew how to smooth stuff out. But anyway, you shall use them for calling the assembly and for directing the movement of the camps. Verse 3. When they blow both of them, all the assembly shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Verse 4. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that are on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journey. Now, you know, there was 12 tribes of Israel, and probably 3 of them were on like on each side. So, you know, there would be 4 different calls going out here for each one of them to start their journey. So verse 7, when the congregations be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. Now verse 8, the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generation. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppress you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpet, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Verse 10. Also, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, and today's an appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, and again today is the beginning of the 7th month, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial. A memorial is something you do every year. For you, before your God, I am the Lord your God. So we see the silver trumpets could be only blown by the sons of Aaron. These two silver trumpets were used to assemble the congregation, give the signal for marching orders, assemble the leaders, sound an alarm of war, and announce special days such as feast days. Now, different trumpet calls were used for the different purposes here. So an example would be like a bugle. You know, we've all been to a funeral, haven't we, of someone who's been in the service, and you hear taps in the background. And I know one of the tricks that I've heard about when you're doing taps, you may be facing the people at first, and again, a bugle doesn't have vowels, but you'd be blend, and then they turn around, and when they play, it sounds like it's further away, like the sound has gone further away from them. See? Now, with a bugle, and a trumpet's like a bugle if you don't use the vowels. You know, you just hold it by itself, you have your overtone. Usually, I think you do with one and three vowels. That way you get the extra little longer tubing and so on. But anyway, there's like different melodies here. So taps would be one melody, wouldn't it, that they'd play at a funeral. Colors, when they raise up the flag, that'd be another melody. And then mezcal. And of course, everyone would know what mezcal is. They didn't want to miss lunch, did they? So, but again, these different melodies that you play on a bugle would let them know what's going on. Same thing with the two silver trumpets here. These different sounds, melodies that they have and the combinations, that's how they would know what's going on. So in other words, that was their email, wasn't it? Right? You know, we're used to email, right? But that was their type of email, how they communicated. The Indians did it with smoke signals, didn't it? But back at that time, they had the silver trumpets. So the silver trumpets were blown on the first day of each of the first 6 months, on the new moon there. And the seventh trumpet of the year announced the Feast of Trumpets. So, which would also be very important in relating to the people that it was also the feast month, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles and Day of Atonement and everything. This is a very important month we're in because there's four holy days that's part of this period of time now. Okay, let's go back to Joshua here. And we're all familiar maybe with the story of Jericho. Let's read a little bit about it here, coming back to Joshua 6 and 1. Joshua 6 and 1. Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This shall be done for 6 days." You shall do this for 6 days. Verse 4. And seven, notice this now, God's number, his favorite number is seven, isn't it? So here we see, and seven priests shall bear seven shofars of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the shofars. Then it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the shofars, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven shofars of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." Now verse 7. And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let them who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord." Now let's go over. First of all, notice there were seven priests, seven shofar. They marched around seven times the city on the seventh day. Now let's go over to 16, sort of finish out the story here. Verse 16. And the seventh time it was so, when the priests blew the shofars here, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." So the people shouted. Now verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew their shofars, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the shofars, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat. And the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So we sort of see the full story there of what happened, and shofars played a part in it there, didn't it? the typology of the trumpet in prophecy is connected with the day of the Lord. And Howard, instead of having a sermonette today, Howard read Joel, the whole book of Joel, but I just want to focus in on the first verse here. It says, "Blow the shofar in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming." So the Feast of Trumpets is a day of gladness and great rejoicing. But it also has a contrasting note of solemnity to it, doesn't it? You know, when we was reading like Matthew 24 and Joel 2, there's going to be a horrendous things happen, isn't there? I mean, a lot of, you know, all the signs of heaven, and there's going to be tribulation, there's going to be earthquakes, all kinds of war and stuff that's going on. That's because of the earth-shaking events here that occurred just before Christ's return. So that's what it's all focusing for, isn't it? You know, all this is a culmination. You know, it's all heading toward what? The return of Christ. It's like the statue of Daniel. Remember how it's tall and everything, the head of gold and so on? But down at the feet, remember the rocket came and hit the image and it all came tumbling down? Well, that's what we're looking for. Okay? Now, we can't be on the day of the Feast of Trumpets here without reading some in Revelation. So let's go to Revelation and we'll do some reading here now. So Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Jesus Christ, one of the seals, opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him had a bow. So, and a crown was given him. It sounded like Christ, but it didn't, did it? And he went out conquering and to conquer. So this is the symbol of false prophets and so on. Okay, let's go to the second one now. Here's the second seal, verse 3. When he opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, "Come and see." And another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. So that's the symbol of war here. Now, we'll move to the third seal. Verse 5. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." So we see famine is striking the earth here. Now we go into the fourth seal. Now what follows famine? Well, pestilence follows famine. So verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice from the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades, the grave, followed with him. And power was given to them over the fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, and with death, and by beast of the earth. Now notice that. You know, some of us have our pets, don't we? We love our pets, but here we see an invasion here of some kind of beast. Maybe wolves. Who knows? Maybe there'll be different things going on. And you know, even a beast could be a virus, couldn't it? It could be so small we can't see it. Today on the news there was some kind of a thing if they had some kind of brain virus or something, and they don't have anything, natural sterilization doesn't kill it. That's scary. Here people could be having some kind of neurosurgery and end up with something that you're going to live for 4 months and die, but being infected by some kind of a virus like that. Okay, now the fifth seal, verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Testimony. It's what we believe in. It's what we'd be willing to live for and die for. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while, a little longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were, was completed. So here we see tribulation going on here, don't we? Tribulation. There's going to be a lot of martyrdom going on. Okay, now we go into the sixth seal here, verse 12. Now, this is the heavenly signs. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black in sackcloth of hair, as the sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Well, if you have giant earthquakes, you know, it could open up volcanic action, that kind of thing, and all kind of stuff could go up in the air. You know, it could act like a filter where light wouldn't come through and so on. As the stars of heaven fell to the earth, here's another claim going on, as a fig tree dropped its late figs when it is shaken by the mighty wind. Then the sky receded or vanished as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. It sounds like a lot of earth activity, doesn't it? You know, earthquakes and different kinds of things where the, what do you call them, the earth is like a platelet, you know, and they sort of slide when an earthquake happens and so on. So it sounds like a lot of stuff's going on here, changing the shape of the earth. Okay, verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and great men, and rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now the Lamb again refers to Christ, doesn't it? You know, we think about the wrath of God, and this is talking about the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Okay, we're going to skip over to chapter 7. This is sort of what we said here, talking about the 144,000 and so on, the great multitude. Let's go to verse 8 and we'll pick this back up, or chapter 8, and then we'll pick up now the seventh seal here. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for a half an hour. Sort of interesting. Last night there was a special on, I caught this a little bit of it. It was about 9/11. And the towers that were falling. This one guy said that he was sort of in the debris, and he said it was real quiet. And then somehow he was able to escape with he thought he was dead, is what he thought, what he said. Okay, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense, and that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. So, you know, we've heard about the throne, the golden altars and stuff, you know, down here on earth when the temple was here, but we're talking about in heaven here. So these things are actually up there too. And if you remember right, Moses was to do it after the pattern of heaven. So what the earthly things looked like was a pattern after what he had been told about and so on. When God was talking to him about all these items, the tabernacle, the temple, and so on. Okay, verse 4, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. So here's another earthquake going on. Okay, verse 6. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Right now, as you know, the seventh seal is broken up into seven trumpets, aren't they? And the seven trumpets are broken up into seven last plagues. Well, here we are, we're getting ready now for the trumpet plagues here. So here we are at verse 7. And it says, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Alright, here we go into the second trumpet now. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Sort of sounds like the plague in Egypt, doesn't it? Where the water turned to blood. Okay, now we're ready for the third trumpet to sound. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star was Wormwood. Now, who knows? Maybe this is missiles with chemical warfare, warheads and so on. Who knows? And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because it was made bitter, or perhaps, radiation stuff, so maybe radiated or something where you can't drink it. All right, now verse 12, we're heading into the fourth trumpet now. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound." So the three woes there indicate the last three trumpet plagues here. We're ready for the fifth trumpet now, chapter 9, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit, or the abyss, as some translations say. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and altar were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as scorpions, so the earth had power. So it sort of sounds like some kind of warfare done with helicopters and that kind of stuff. And I remember in the Iraq War, these gunships, there were helicopters, and the firepower that those things had was just amazing. You just stood there stunned, seeing the fire, the machine guns and all that kind of stuff, as this fire was going on as they were flying along those helicopters. Verse 4. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth. Now this is interesting. Or any green thing of the tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God in their forehead. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Now, you know, years ago it seemed like the church, they were saying that the peace trumpet, all these things would happen in one day. Well, there's no way. This one here lasted 5 months. So anyway, but the peace of trumpet, especially at the time of war, you know, it's like a starting point of these things. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Verse 6. In those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. And the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings, this is what reminds me of helicopters here, was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions with stings in their tails, like machine guns and that kind of thing, maybe. Again, I'm just hypothesizing here. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, here's this 5 months again. It's like God didn't want us to miss it. He's saying 5 months, folks. This lasts for 5 months. Verse 11. And they had a king. And they had, as a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. That's talking about Satan the devil, isn't it? Whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek it's Apollyon. These two names mean destruction and destroyer. And that's what Satan is referred to as. So verse 12. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after this thing. As if we didn't have enough going on here, huh? Now we're going to be faced with more. All right, verse 13, here's the sixth trumpet sounding here. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the 1 hour, now I think this is referring to a 1 hour nuclear war, it's my personal opinion here, and day and month and year, were released to kill a third of mankind. Again, a lot of death and destruction going on here. Now, in verse 16. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. So again, this could be symbols for like a nuclear war. Verse 18. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. Verse 20. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent. Now, this is amazing, isn't it? When you think with all this stuff going on, people be crying out to God, "God, help me! Save me from this! You know, protect me somehow. Send me to a place of safety. You know, do something here." But that's not what it said. They didn't repent. They didn't repent of the works of their hands, that they should worship demons. Here's what they were wanting to do. They were wanting to worship idols, gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see, nor hear, nor walk. Now, we know there's nothing to that. You know, even in Jeremiah 10, where it talks about the tree, you know, that they cut down and carry it and deck it with silver and gold. You know, is it a Christmas tree or not? Maybe. Maybe not. It's an idol. Nonetheless, whatever it is, it's an idol. And that's what these things are. They're idols. And then verse 21 again, notice, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Let's drop down to verse chapter 10 now. Let's drop down to verse 7 for a second here. Verse 7. But in those days, the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Now let's go over to chapter 11 and verse 14. Chapter 11, 14. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come. Because you have taken your great power and reign, the nations were angry, and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead, or nations here, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, that's us, the saints, the church, and those who fear your name, small and great. And you should destroy those who destroy the earth. Okay, so this is talking about the return of Christ. All right, now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. And again, we'll see a little bit more about the return of Christ here. So 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll read 16 through 18, the last three verses here. For the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, notice here's that shout again, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. I love this last little passage here. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. It's amazing. You know, we've made it happen. We've gone through all this and we've made it. And in verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. Well, those are definitely comforting words after thinking about reading about all this horrendous stuff that's going on here. All right, in conclusion now, the Feast of Trumpets pictures war and Jesus returning at the seventh trump and the resurrection of the saints. And again, that's us. We're going to be resurrected. Do you think that when you're resurrected that you will be joyful? Yeah, I think so, right? Are we going to be cheering? Yes, we're going to be cheering. We're going to be almost hallucinating on drugs in a way with joy. You know, not with the actual drugs, but with joy. Are we going to be shouting? You better believe it. Are we going to be rejoicing? Yes. Now, we didn't read this, but you know it says over in 1 Corinthians 15, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed from mortal to immortal, corruptible to incorruptible. Our bodies will be glorified, shining as bright as the sun. So can you imagine that, being changed and being so brilliant? And yet, you know, even though we might be brilliant like a light bulb, you take that light bulb out in the sun, and you can't even see it, can you? So our light, our shining and brilliance will not be anything like God and Jesus Christ. Yet we will be. You know, you bring us into a place like this, we'd be radiating the whole place. So I think we will be shouting and cheering like crazy. We'll be thanking God for his mercy and for eternal life. We'll be praising God. Hallelujah! Praise God! We'll be thanking God. Thank you, Jesus. And the bottom line is, I've run the race. I've won. You're going to win too.